When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're tuning in to a podcast that is intended to be an ongoing conversation about the history of rock and roll. And for me, Ray Koob, also known as The Doc, and my partner in crime here,
Marcus in the Darkest.
Our conversation's been going on for a long time about
yes, it has.
This kind of stuff. And we actually thought, after conversations over beers and at station events for stations that we both worked at or seeing each other at concerts, we finally got the idea that we should sit down and do this. And what do we know most about, probably, in our brains?
Yes.
In rock and roll.
Music, without a doubt. And the family tree is so huge in rock and roll. The branches are big. There are so many of them. And there's just so much conversation to be had. I mean, the conversations that you and I have had back and forth have been a blast. We've learned a lot. And that's what it's about.
And part of that is because we share our experiences, things that we've experienced along our blazing trails of rock and roll. And that's part of what this is going to be about, too. You mentioned the family tree. Well, there's so many of them.
Yes.
We started talking about that at a bar one day, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just started talking about the family trees. I had notes going all over the place. And I was nowhere near full. I didn't know. So we want to explore stuff. And here's the thing. Rock and roll is just like real human history. Rock and roll is, you know, it veers left when you think it's going to go right. It had things that weren't expected, and things when it looked like it was at death's door, something happened. And that's the kind of stuff we want to talk about. And we have memories. We have old tapes and photos and recordings of interviews and shows that we've done. But I want to talk about it. And I want to learn about it with people, because the people who tune to podcasts, I found, are people who know something about what the subject is. There are people who are interested in it. So we're going to learn from you, too. You want me to tell them how to do that?
Absolutely. We have to share our social media information, because this conversation won't be successful without the help of other people who are as passionate about rock and roll as you and I are.
Well, we've got two ways to start. We figured out an email address would be the easiest, so it's real easy. It is the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll, so it's imbalancedhistory@gmail.com. And then on Facebook, it's just the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. Just search that and find us. You'll find links around. And if you like what you're hearing here on the podcast, be sure to tell friends, because that's what social media is really all about.
Yep. And Twitter, eventually, we will be on as well.
I think we're going to get there, but, you know.
We're heading there.
Well,
we're definitely heading
I don't know
there.
About you. And this is a side conversation that has nothing to do with rock and roll. I just think Twitter right now is kind of like off its axis.
Oh, it's totally a surreal world right now.
Oh, my God.
But if we can funnel some good fat rock and roll in there, maybe we're doing the world a favor.
Truer words were never spoken. Well, listen, this is who we are. Marcus and I met, I guess I had returned to Philly radio in 01, and I was working at MMR, for those who don't know, the rock station in Philly, 50 years strong plus now.
Yep.
And then I went to work at our sister station, WMGK, the classic rock station. And then along comes this guy from Colorado, and I'm driving home at night, so I flip around on the radio. And I spent so many nights driving home listening to you when you first got to town. And that was your first shifts that you were doing.
It was so hard pronouncing all these crazy names and learning, like,
right.
Bala Kinwood and
Manayunk.
Yep, Manayunk and the Schuylkill.
Nobody knows. It is like Manayunk.
Yep.
You know, but until they get here and people tell them how to say the proper way to say Schuylkill, which is Schuylkill.
Yep.
And that's Philadelphia. That's where we live.
Water.
That's where we met. Schuylkill, it's full of water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I had to strip all that out, but my way I speak, I guess, being a kid from Longcrest. And I started right here in Philadelphia, and then you moved here. And what was that? When was that?
2002. I was actually in between radio jobs. I had opened up a bunch of P.F. Chang's, and Marlton needed a manager. So
did
I
you get cha-ching from cha-chang?
I did get cha-ching from cha-chang, and it was nice. My second day on the floor as a manager, George Stone, the Warner Brothers rep, came into P.F. Chang's with a stack of CDs.
And Stoney!
So I walked
the
up.
First shout out of this podcast.
Yes.
George Stone, we love you.
Yes, we do love you very much. And so I got caught up on all my work that I needed to do. I stopped by his table, was like, hey, how you doing? My name's Marcus. I'm one of the managers. He said his name was George. And I said, what label do you work for? He said, how do you know I work for a label? I said, you brought a stack of CDs in. And he said, Warner Brothers. So my response to him was, do you know any of the reps out west? Because working in Denver for so long, I knew the Warner Brothers rep, who was Jason Minkler. Great guy. Great guy.
How long were you in Denver, Ray?
10 years.
10 years in Denver?
10 years.
And what made you pack up the U-Haul and come to Philadelphia?
Couldn't find a job in Denver. I was at the point where I had to leave Denver to continue in radio.
The old Bob Seger song, Get Out of Denver,
Baby. Get Out of Denver, Baby.
Did you play that on the CD player on your way out of town?
No, but I should have. I do have it, too.
That's
so.
The kind of geeks we are. We do stuff like that.
Yes,
folks.
We do. Music geeks do that. But yeah, so we talked, and he ended up passing my air check around to all the radio stations in his territory. 6 months later, MMR called me, and that's how it happened.
Well, double thanks there, George, because you not only helped Marcus, and he's helped, George always helped so many people when he was working for Warner's, but you not only helped Marcus to land there, because that we met, and you helped to birth this podcast, the Imbalance History of Rock and Roll. I think some people might know a little bit about my history. I mentioned I was born in Philadelphia, grew up in Longcrest, moved out to the burbs in the 60s, and it was one of those dazed and confused 70s teenagers living out there. Went to William Tennant High School, which was definitely like, without the paddling, was definitely like the movie Dazed and Confused.
Really?
And when I was there, we had a really cool media program. I was able to get involved in it first on with television, believe it or not, because I have a face for radio. And then we started our own radio station, which turned into a low-power FM, I guess you would call it now. And it's still out there
at the high school. 3.
It started out of the high school. We had some of the coolest teachers and advisors for that kind of stuff. And there's a whole bunch of people that came out of that. So I got into that. And then, of course, everyone goes to college and they get into college radio. I matriculated in several places and then applied to be an intern on John DeBella's show on the Morning Zoo on WMMR. And that was the beginning of 12 years for me working at MMR, part-time, full-time, then part-time, on the air and not. And we did some great things in that era of MMR, which was, I guess, like in around the 20th anniversary range. We had the 20th party was pretty damn good too.
I bet it was. Now, were you there? Were you at MMR when Live Aid happened, or was that okay?
Yeah, I was one of those guys. I got a pass when I got there. We had great access. So did YSP. They actually had the official coverage that day. And
that's bizarre.
But it wasn't until halfway through the morning when I was totally wiped out from the heat. I figured 11 a.m. There's Ozzy jumping around in that heat and that full length robe. I'm wiped out, and then I go to the front. One of my security buddies says, "Well, come on in, like backstage, because that pass get you everywhere but the dressing rooms." So, you know, and I was there that day. It was an incredible day. That's something we could talk about. I think we should talk about just about Live Aid. And you know who I want to have on. I want to have Pierre on.
We have to because of the things he did.
But I was there through the 80s. And then I went to work at Friday Morning Quarterback when trade magazines were in print every week. We hadn't gotten to the internet or computerized charts or any of the ways that they measure airplay now. And calling in reports and talking to stations and writing about rock and roll. I did that for about 7 years while still doing air work on MMR, including my rocker show, which a lot of people grew up with. A lot of people in their 40s were teenagers when that thing was started in 88. And through that, I had some unbelievable experiences. When you put that show together with working in the metal department at FMQB, it opened up so many things that we'll talk about during the podcast for me. After that, I spent 5 years as a VP of promotion at CMC and then Sanctuary Records, working with the classics in both rock and in metal.
Wow.
And I'll talk about that a little bit as we go through the podcast. And then it brought me back to radio, and we probably will talk about 9/11 and the music around 9/11 at some point. 9/11, I was in New York in the subway when everything went down, and brought me back around to Philadelphia and eventually to the airwaves full time. And that's kind of where I've been ever since and until now. So we're adding this. We're both adding podcaster to our resume.
Yes, we are. I started doing radio in high school. We had a high school radio station.
Cool, we have that in common.
We had 4,000 people in our high school, so we had a radio station. And so I started doing it in high school. I did it a little bit in college, but I got a degree in advertising journalism and wrote ad copy right out of college.
Cool.
It was money, but it was... At that time, it was still advertising was very stiff, and you weren't allowed to be as outrageous as you are now. And I was putting – my portfolio was very outrageous, so I kind of got brushed aside. And a friend of mine was like, "I like your voice. Do you want to be on the radio?" And I was like, "Yeah, I used to do it in college." And the next week, I was doing overnights at Magic 100, a Michael Bolton, Amy Grant station.
Wow. My commercial start was on AM Country Stereo.
What?
That's right. WAMS Wilmington.
Whoa.
And my buddy Mike hired me on there. And he has had a long career in radio in our area, Mike Rossi. Mm-hmm. But he put me on country radio. And I remember at my first staff meeting, he says, "This is Ray. He's the new Weekender. Make sure you get to know him. He won't be here long." And 6 months later, I started working at ZZO in Allentown. He just knew that I was a rock dog and I needed that first place on the ladder. And Mike, always thank Mike Rossi for
that's awesome.
For giving me that shot. But these are the places we came from.
Yeah.
And along the way, we've had some pretty crazy experiences. And things that we've been a part of. But I think that there's more to every story. And that's why we want you guys, those people who are tuning into our podcast, whoever you found us, thank you. And we want you to add to the story by emailing us. And of course, if you see stuff on or you hear about stuff you want to post about on our Facebook page, it's imbalancehistory@gmail.com and imbalancehistoryofrockandroll on Facebook. Listen, we've all that we've done and all that we've read about and all the time we've spent absorbing rock and roll information through our life, we don't know everything.
Oh, right? Not even close.
So, you know, make sure that you post up to us, okay?
Yeah, please share your knowledge with us because this is what it's about. It's a conversation to keep rock and roll alive. And there's so many topics where we can go, not only with artists like the Beatles or the British Invasion or Motown or the blues or, you know, the alternative of the 80s, the punk rock in the 70s, the post-punk. Then you have the second wave of ska. I mean, you have so many areas we can talk about.
That's right. And let us know what you want to hear about.
Absolutely. I mean, we have rock and roll landmarks that we can talk about.
That's right. So there's so many great festivals. You know, we have festivals that we were talking about, Live Aid, things like that that we've been at, but stuff that there's either we were too young or couldn't get to and things like that. Maybe some of you have been and want to participate and tell us about your story in festivals. It's things like that. One of the ideas, I like this idea from you, how Metallica's Kill 'Em All changed the metal world. And that's something we should talk about.
Absolutely.
You know, some things like that. We both love David Bowie.
Yeah, and his impact on all of society is greater than any other musician of all time. Nobody will ever achieve what he's achieved as far as an impact on society. He impacted sex, he impacted drugs, he impacted fashion, he impacted makeup, he impacted theater, film.
Yeah. Oh, all of it.
Music, every aspect of pop culture life, David Bowie had a major impact on, and there's nobody...
Say it, brother.
There's nobody who will ever have an impact like that. I mean, you have bands like Budgie, like Thin Lizzy, like Triumph, like Tesla, who are underknown, misclassified.
A lot of that. Like the Black Crowes when they first came out.
Absolutely.
Know? We got worked at Metal Radio by the label on the Black Crowes.
Whoa.
Because nobody was playing with...
They didn't know where to classify
them. Rock radio at that time was softer than that.
You
know? We'll talk about that, too. The changing tides there in the 80s and the effect. And a lot of it happened in Philadelphia, so we were there to witness it. Grunge, if you want to call it that. I never did. I always call it the West Coast sound because it extended to California. But Seattle is the epicenter of that 90s explosion. And we'll tell stories about that. Talk about those major events and the tours, both present and past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing, we could spend a whole podcast just talking about the Rolling Stones tours, the historic Rolling Stones tours, things like that.
The Beatles, we could talk about multiple episodes because of their impact.
You mentioned family trees. The other thing is some of the bands, like the Beatles are one of them, because of the way that they advanced and people that they played with after they went solo and because of the Apple recordings, the people that they signed and released, it put us in a situation where that one extended wide and deep. So, which one of the darkest kitties is this here?
This is Lady Bird.
Lady Bird is hanging out with us while we do today's podcast.
Yes, she is. She wants to know what's going on. A good friend of mine's mother was at the JFK concert, the Beatles' very first one in Washington, D.C. It was like 20-something minutes, or RFK, whatever the stadium was, but it was like 20-something minutes long, and it was so loud you could barely hear the Beatles because the girls were screaming so loud, and the kids there were just so loud. That reminds me of my Sean Cassidy experience in 76.
Well, I've got an idea I want to discuss with you on our next episode about the Beatles, so maybe we can dip into the Beatles there. We're not going to do this in a linear fashion.
No way.
Rock and roll started. There's a debate about that that's going on ever since the 50s and 60s. There's been a debate about where it really came from and all these things. And we're going to dig into some of that early history, of course. But we don't want to do it in a linear fashion. There's all kinds of branches on those trees that we're talking about that need to be discussed. The story itself is imperfect and slightly imbalanced.
Extremely imbalanced.
And we talked about what we should call this podcast. We knew it was going to be about rock and roll, and we know a little bit about history, and we've experienced a lot. So we figured we'd call it something that would be show that it's out of order, chaotic, kind of helter-skelter, if you will.
It is.
A little 5150. And like us, it's the imbalanced history of rock and roll here. And thank you so much for tuning in. It is a lot. There's a lot to do. And we're just getting started, my friend.
Yes, please email us if there's a subject you want to know about or if there's a subject you want to discuss, if there's anything that you want to talk about, imbalancedhistory@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I'm psyched to really delve into this because there's so many areas we get to discuss. We get to discuss eventually the birth of Southern rock. I mean, those little things, Duane Allman and his impact on music.
There's also the influence of early things like the blues or early R&B, the effect that they had on the rock and roll pioneers, back to the jazz days when things, there was a long time in the history of the evolving history of rock and roll in this country where things weren't so pigeonholed or classified.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not stuck in a box. Yeah. And the great artists always tend to break out of those boxes. Yeah. So let's go find some boxes.
Let's see it.
Break them open and see what we can find inside.
I think there's some pretty exciting things ahead in these open boxes.
Again, we ask you to follow us on Facebook. It's the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I'm the Doc.
I'm Marcus.
We are together here on the podcast.
Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll.
See you next time.
Yeah.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.